to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
The final episode of the Atlantic Division for the Puck Guys Podcast, doing our 31 and 30 here with Jason and Eddie. How are you guys?
Howdy.
Getting to the end here. It's going good.
Yes, it's the worst division first. obviously, no. I mean, we would have done this one first. Second worst division. Yeah, we're going to start in the east, move our way out west. The Buffalo Sabres, guys. Tricky one to kind of predict because they have some talent on this team, but are they good enough to get over the hump and make the playoffs? Are they close? Yes, I think they're close. They finished last season 25, 45, and 12.
Worst.
Little deceiving.
Yeah.
They didn't make the playoffs. They have some big-time acquisitions they were able to pick up this offseason. Obviously, they drafted Rasmus Dahlin, who everybody wanted. Great defenseman. Jeff Skinner, Connor Sheary, Vladimir Spoka, Patrick Berglund, Tage Thompson, Carter Hutton, Matt Hunwick, and Lawrence Pilut. I think that's how you say his name.
Sure.
But
He's like Swedish defenseman of the year in the SHL.
So they got a lot of decent talent coming into this team. Our elite talent, I think, if you look at Rasmus Dahlin, Jeff Skinner's kind of that middle echelon. But they lose out on Ryan O'Reilly. Robin Leonard is gone. Josh Georges is gone. And Chad Johnson is gone. So Carter Hutton is going to be taking the reins in net. Eddie, how do you feel about this team moving forward, man? They have some talent up front. They still need to sign Reinhardt. But do you think Carter Hutton's the real deal?
I think they're going to be better. I mean, they made probably the most acquisitions out of anybody, maybe even in the entire league. You look at, obviously, adding Dahlin to that blue line is huge. It gives them two very good young players in Dahlin and Ristolainen to work with, and then a bunch of good, you know, top four, top six depth guys to work with as well. So their blue line is actually pretty good. And then the fact that they brought in four top nine wingers, Jeff Skinner, Connor Sheary, Sabocha, and Patrick Berglund, is huge for their depth. It's something they didn't have. And then injecting Casey Mittelstadt into second line center for an entire season, possibly seeing Alex Nylander finally make the team. There's a lot to look forward to up front and on the blue line. But then, like you said, the question does come in net with Carter Hutton. He had a great season as a backup, kind of semi-starter at times in St. Louis when Jake Allen was struggling. But it's a completely different situation. I mean, St. Louis, they were a defensive team. They always had been. They were really organized in front of him, so it was easier for him to get the job done. I mean, they make Jake Allen look good on a nightly basis, so that's saying something. But he's gonna go into Buffalo, and he's gonna face a lot more shots there. He's not the out and out starter. He's gonna be fighting with Allmark to begin the season. I think that could be beneficial for him because he's been fighting for his position behind Jake Allen for so long. So for him to continue to fight for his spot is going to be good, but it's going to be a lot tougher. He's going to face a lot more shots, and he's going to really be tested to see if he's like the next Cam Talbot or if he's the next Scott Darling.
Yeah, and I've been watching Carter Hutton's career for a while. I mean, back when he was in Nashville. He was never really ever going to knock off Pecorino. That fort was pretty well held down by him. He got a great, in my opinion, opportunity last year in trying to solidify himself as possibly a starter for a team that's looking for a goalie, and I think he got that opportunity here in Buffalo. And he's kind of got a good opportunity to make that happen where he can finally maybe shake away that I'm a backup, career backup, and really kind of give it his all. And he was, if he had played enough games, he was right up there in save percentage, goals against average, and he played quite a bit of games, just not quite enough that really kind of qualified him for the whole Vezina and that sort of deal. But he gave St. Louis quite a bit of opportunity to really kind of hopefully get into the playoffs and make some noise. It didn't quite happen last season. So I'm glad to see him get an opportunity at least to start there and hopefully solidify himself there. The one problem that Buffalo had last season was their offense. It was the worst offense in all of the NHL. And I feel like they've kind of solidified that at least a little bit in adding a Jeff Skinner into that mix. If they can get Reinhardt signed, I think Okposo can still kind of show a little bit. Connor Sheary, I think, can be in there as well. So their top six is good. And like Eddie said, they really kind of filled some of those holes in the bottom six that kind of solidify. I got to stop saying solidify. I think I said it like eight times. It's really plugged some of the offensive woes that they may have had last year, kind of gets fixed a little bit this year. They're not going to rock the boat, in my opinion, as far as climbing up the ladder within the division far enough to be a division spot, because they have so many good teams in front of them. But I'm interested to see what Carter Hutton can do with this team. Yes, he'll have a bit of a different role. He's never played on a team that's going to give up as many shots as Buffalo has. But I think Buffalo's maybe got that spark in them. That big trade with getting Jeff Skinner, I think, really can propel this team to jump over a lot of teams they trailed last year.
Oh, and it helps they got Rasmus Dahlin, and he's been, by all accounts, just somebody that is just playing men amongst boys when he's playing in camp so far and in practices. He just easily does things on the ice for this team. That's going to be a huge help coming in from the blue line. That's where offense kind of drives out of the zone. And if you have him feeding a guy like Skinner or Eichel on this team, he's going to be able to dish to Skinner. If Eichel can stay healthy and play alongside Jeff Skinner, that's going to be a deadly line. And you know they're going to be setting each other up. And then Dahlin on the back end is going to be able to carry that power play. I feel like this team is on the upside of things. I know they missed out on when they tried to tank originally, and they missed out. No, I mean, Jack Eichel's a fine young player. I mean, sure, maybe he's not the 90-100 point guy one thought he might be, but he doesn't have to be. It's okay to not have that, and they have a lot to look forward to otherwise. It's all kind of hinging on Carter Hutton, though. I think that's the big deal you guys have both just talked about. So we'll see what we get from him. He's proven that he's been a backup elsewhere, but he's going to be the guy in the net probably 50 games this season, I think, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to kind of figure out what is Dahlin capable of and what is Mittelstadt capable of. I haven't seen in a while, at least, or at least that I can remember, where a team has had a Calder Trophy candidate on the blue line and up front. I mean, Mittelstadt is probably the front runner at this point, and Dahlin's not that far behind him. I mean, he was great in the six games he played for Buffalo at the end of the season last year. He was one of the best players, if not the best player, at the World Juniors as well for the U.S. So I haven't seen it in a long time where you get two guys, one on the blue line, one up front, for a team that could easily win the Calder Trophy. There's an argument for both of them. So this team is set for the future when you've got Dahlin, Ristolainen on the back end. You've got two elite defensemen that are going to help you out for a long time. And then you look at a future 1-2 combination of Eichel and Mittelstadt. Skinner's still young. Reinhardt, when he gets signed, is still young. And they've still got guys in the pipeline as well. I mean, they've really done the rebuild right. They were bad for so many years. They missed it on Connor McDavid. It was tough years. I think Eichel, if he can stay healthy for an entire season, is an 80-90 point guy. He's been close to a point per game guy throughout his entire career. He just hasn't been able to really play a full season. So I think if he gets at least, you know, 75 to 82 games, he's going to be putting up the points this year, especially getting some decent line mates to play with.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, even though it's, you know, a little bit of that rebuild, I think they're turning that corner into a rebuild, into a playoff contender, and then that will build into hopefully Stanley Cup contender based on those young blue chips that they have. But they still have $6.5 million available in cap space right now, not to mention they have the potential for 3 first-round draft picks next year between Buffalo, St. Louis, and San Jose's picks. So, I mean, they're kind of still set for a little while. I think that they've done a good job.
Do you think that Casey Mittelstadt can do a pull-up yet, Eddie?
I don't think it matters at this point. It's insane. I think it went from Sam Bennett to him, the struggles with that. I mean, obviously, Sam Bennett has continued to struggle in the National Hockey League, so maybe doing a pull-up sometimes matters, but when you've got the skill that Casey Mittelstadt does.
I talk shit. It's like,
cares?
It doesn't really matter.
I remember we talked to
Steve Corianos, and we talked to him about prospects. He's like, oh, my God, it's so overplayed.
Yeah.
These are kids.
Especially now.
He's a kid, and he's sick at hockey, so it doesn't really matter what he does. It doesn't really matter what the combine does.
Yeah, the new NHL, it's speed. I mean, it's speed, skill, you know, it's so what? You can't lift Char over your head and throw him into the stands.
Oh, he'll put that strength on. Like, you look at what Nathan MacKinnon did when he came into the league. He was a lanky, skinny kid. I wouldn't be surprised if he could only done a couple pull-ups, and now look at him. I mean, the kid's a beast now. He's huge. I mean, it just comes with time, playing in the NHL, just working on getting that strength, you know, figuring out what, you know, how, what kind of size works for you in the National Hockey League. I think he'll get there eventually. I mean, he's coming out of playing college and playing in the World Juniors to going right into the NHL. Not many kids, barring Andrei Svechnikov out of this draft and recent drafts, really look like a man who's physically ready to play in the National Hockey League. He's got the skill, but he'll get the bulk and the size in the next couple seasons.
How many goals is Jeff Skinner going to pot this year, guys?
26.
Ooh, that's pretty
on
low.
This team?
Yeah.
On this team, I think he's a 30-goal scorer. He essentially replaces Evander Kane.
I'm going to say he gets 40 this year with the help of Jack Eichel. I think he's going to get 40 goals this year.
Jack Eichel's a volume shooter, though.
Yeah.
Like, he loves to shoot the puck. I honestly know it makes sense to pair the two best players together. I think it would be better off for the both of them, at least to start, unless Skinner becomes a playmaker, to play them on separate lines and maybe play Connor Sheary with Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart. Sheary's a guy who benefits from playing with great players, as we saw with Crosby.
Skinner plays with Mittelstadt? It's not a bad deal.
Exactly. Mittelstadt is a playmaker. You play him with Skinner, then you got Okposo going to the net. I think those two pairings work, and then maybe you try it out. Of course you try it out. Power play, you probably have Skinner with Eichel. You see if it works there, but I think when you have two guys who shoot the puck as much as them, they might not necessarily gel together. Eichel's the guy who usually likes to take the puck and shoot it on net, and that could limit the amount of chances Skinner gets.
Nope, you're both wrong. 26.
26 goals is so low.
He's going to get a lot of assists.
Fair enough.
His shots will hit pads, and then someone else will score.
Come on, man. Did Skinner sign a long-term deal, or is he still sitting on 1 year?
He's still sitting on 1 year.
Ooh. Yeah, he hasn't signed anything.
I don't think he's going to stay there.
It depends on how good they are, right?
Yeah, I mean, if
I don't see why not.
If they crack into the playoffs with that team and how young that team is and moving forward, and they got the room to sign him, I mean, it's not like
I don't think they have to make the playoffs. I think they just have to have a somewhat – anything better than last year, like a 500 season, and I think he could stay.
So
and just bad. Like they'll just be like, they'll be like, look what we have and look what it's going to be. We have, you know, a franchise defenseman, we've got a franchise centerman in Eichel, we've got an elite center in Casey Mittelstadt. Like, if you stay here for a long time, we're gonna compete for Stanley Cups.
And they've got some room to be able to give him a pay increase as well, because if Pominville comes off the books next year at 35 and 5.6 mil, they got a little bit more room to maybe sign that contract.
So where do you guys have him finishing in the division?
I have him fifth.
Oh, my God. We are so ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, it's easy when the bottom three are.
We've all got him fifth.
Yeah, I think we are all pretty much the same except for the top three. I think it was really Tampa and Boston. I think you and Jason had exactly the same.
Yeah, the unknown
Tampa
factor, it would be if they don't quite have if they are able to show that Dahlin and Mittelstadt are able to come into the league this year and just tear it up, they might be able to leapfrog the Florida Panthers and maybe sneak
there's
in
a possibility
the
for
there's
that
there's a chance for
I
that and I mean
it's just a lot of new pieces. It's tough to say that right now.
Yeah, a lot of new faces in the lineup, so there's a lot to look forward to here for Buffalo. I feel like it's going to be a team worthy to tune into to see, but we have them all sitting in fifth. So not all hope is lost. We kind of feel like they have a chance maybe to squeak in, but we'll see how that goes.
They'll be the most successful New York team.
Yes. No, I can definitely agree with that one. That's something you couldn't be able to say until recently.
Didn't you really like the Devils?
They're not New York, but okay.
Are they not?
No, they're New Jersey. They're not full. It's a whole other state, kid.
I thought they were in the state of New York. Oh, boy.
New Jersey.
Can we cut that out?
Hey, you can send your audio out if you want to be a chump. That's all right.
It's New York.
I mean, I said Facebook on a show. At least you could do is keep in your lack of
New
geography
York
knowledge.
White.
Well, there you guys have it. We're the Puck Guys. We just did our 31 and 30 of the Atlantic Division. Coming up next will be the Central Division. We're going to be starting that here coming up pretty soon. So find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Sorry, really didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah,
but where we I know you're pissed. Where we're going to do a full-on breakdown of who makes the playoffs?
We'll reveal that.
Later?
Later when we get done with everything. We'll put up all of our playoff brackets together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll do
also,
that all
once. Sorry, I thought we were doing that.
All
right.
Continue. Find us the Puck Guys Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Find us on iTunes as well. If you hit that subscribe button and leave us a nice note and a rating, would be great. Talk to you guys soon. Bye, guys.